Christian life, the following of Christ, is the imitation of Christ. We are baptized into his death, baptized into his resurrection. We are baptized into his life. We share his divine life as he has shared with us his divine life through taking upon himself our humanity. In fact, the priest at the Mass, when he mixes the water and the wine in the chalice, makes reference in the prayer to the fact that our Lord has shared his divinity with us by taking upon himself our humanity. The wine symbolizing his divinity and the water symbolizing our humanity, which he took upon himself and through which he now shares with us his divinity. All of the Christian life, all of our beliefs and practices in our Catholic religion are constantly making reference to the hypostatic union of our Lord's divinity and humanity. The life of grace is both human and divine. Sacramental life comes to us through these signs and symbols which appeal to our humanity, reveal to us, speak to us of what takes place. Water, a very natural element. It is a sign of our spiritual washing. Likewise, the family is both a very natural and called to be a very supernatural reality. Rooted in nature, marriage is a sacrament in the first place of nature. You know, we have this big argument about the nature of marriage, and argument is from the state that it's the state that makes marriage, that it's the state that regulates the institution, and if there is a religious element to the institution, then that is the jurisdiction of the church. But the reality of the institution at its root is something established by the state. But the reality is, of course, that it's established by God, but it's established by God in nature. Marriage doesn't exist because of the church. Neither does it exist because of the state. It exists because there are men and women, and it's really as simple as that. Babies come from men and women, and it's in the interests of everyone, husband, wife, child, society, church, state, that those relationships be stable, and that a child know its father and mother, and that the father and mother be committed to them, to one another and to their children for life. Certainly, marriage is in the interest of the state, so the state gets involved. And there is a fundamental supernatural element even to marriage at the very beginning, of course, because it was God who created man, male and female. And so the church also has an interest. She blesses marriage and makes clear the rights and obligations from a supernatural point of view. But the family is this fundamental unit of human society that is at the heart of any human society. It is at the basis of civilization and has this very fundamental, important, natural reality. And yet it was never intended to be merely a natural reality. It is also supernatural and in Christ is raised to this incredible dignity of being a sign of his love for the church and of the fidelity of the church for him. And this Feast of the Holy Family is a testimony to the sanctity of marriage and family life as both a human and divine reality. And of course, in the society in which we live, this supernatural character of marriage and family life has to be proclaimed because it is utterly lost and becomes marriage itself becomes more and more irrelevant as we slide down the path of least resistance and of secularism and vice. God established the family, and he established this new family in Christ, which is the church. The family is the domestic church, and we see a sign of it, first of all, in the Holy Family, in which there are these real natural relationships between mother and child, between foster father and child, between husband and wife. Marriage of Our Lady and Saint Joseph, even though virginal, is a real marriage. And there was both supernatural and natural charity and obedience and respect that existed within the Holy Family. And yet it wasn't, could never be understood in purely natural terms, because the child was conceived virginally, because the child had greater dignity than even the mother and the father. There was a head of the family, and that was Saint Joseph, but he certainly wasn't the holiest within the family. And the motives to obey, the motives to follow, had to be supernatural, because the Son of God was the King of the universe, King of all creation. And yet he became the child of Mary, the child of Saint Joseph, the one who came to obey and to offer himself for the salvation of mankind. And so today, on this Feast of the Holy Family, on this Feast of Christmas, we look to Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, the Holy Family, as the great icon of supernatural charity and of the fundamental realities that go along with making family life, of restoring family life. It is a matter of grace, but it's also a matter of just natural loyalty as well. So much of what goes on today in society is the destruction of common sense, of commitment to the ordinary things. There is nothing more adventurous and dangerous, you might say, than family life, because it's unpredictable. Getting up in the morning and just doing what you're supposed to do sometimes can be the hardest and most dangerous thing. And it's a work of grace, but it's also a work of just natural perseverance and loyalty raised to a higher level because of faith. So as we nurture ourselves at the altar of God with the flesh and blood of Christ, we recognize that we have become his flesh and blood, his kit and kin, as he has become our flesh and blood. Let us then turn ourselves over to the patronage of Our Lady and Saint Joseph, so that we may learn more fully what it means to be a child of God, and to live in his grace, and to live as a family tied together by supernatural bonds, but living in this world and asked at each turn to treat one another as our Lord has treated us, with charity, forgiveness, and with common sense.
Misericordes, O Lord.